You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I imagine there are a lot of myths that persist about this segment of the population in America. They identify as LGBT or Q. There are other letters that have been added, but that's kind of the acronym that has stuck, at least for now, LGBTQ. There was a recent poll of LGBTQ Americans asking they themselves what it is they do, what their practices are, how they self-identify, and giving us some raw numbers. We're going to be talking about that poll. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us on this Monday afternoon. She's a regular guest. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute and author of several books, including The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims, and a forthcoming publication titled The Sexual State. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, I'm glad to be on with you again.
So what stood out the most to you in the results of this latest poll of LGBTQ Americans?
Well, the thing that struck me the most is just how fluid sexual identity actually is and sexual orientation actually is. So, you know, at the very beginning of this poll, they jump up and down and say, well, most of the people who are LGBTQ are women. And then you look at the little pie chart that they have here, and 16% of the people are lesbian. And so most of the women, the vast majority of the women on this poll, are bisexual, identifying themselves as bisexual. So there is a lot of fluidity in the definition of gay, lesbian, and bisexual. But, of course, the poll doesn't point that out. The poll simply ask people, how do you identify yourself? And most of the people are picking out the thing that is the most fluid. So it's a very peculiar, shall I say, very peculiar takeaway if you actually look at this thing and look at it closely.
What do you think is the biggest myth that persists about LGBTQ Americans?
Oh, I think by far the biggest myth is that people are born that way. Okay, so we believe that's what everybody thinks. People are born that way. People are born that way. The Pope even basically said that to that poor young man who had been abused by a priest for years. God made you this way. You know, that's all the sort of whole storyline that we've been given by the LGBT, basically the legal community, to try to convince the courts that being gay is sort of like being black, and therefore the whole anti-discrimination apparatus should just be applied to gay people. But if you turn around and look at this chart, what you see right away is the born that way is a myth. And we know that from other things too. But if a person saying they're bisexual, a person describing themselves as queer or self-described something else, those are things that have no definition at all. They have no boundaries on those at all. So you can't really very well say a person is born queer when you don't even know what the term means, you know. So that's, to me, the most striking takeaway from this survey and the what I would say the biggest myth that's been created in the culture.
I think one of the things that would probably strike the average person reading this survey, and it's something, oddly, that has not yet been highlighted in the coverage of the survey, and it's been cited but not highlighted, and that is how small a percentage of the American population identifies as LGBTQ.
Right, right. It says 4 to 5% of the population describes as LGBT, but half of them are bisexual. See, and so that means if you ask how many are gay and how many are lesbian, well, you're down to about, you know, 1 to 2% of the population of people that could even conceivably be described as something that was born that way. You see what I mean? So it really is a very small percentage of the population. That's right. And earlier surveys have showed this as well. Todd, that of the people who identify in this way, LGBTQ, roughly half are bisexual. So, you know, there you go. And I think you're right. People would be surprised by how few, by how small a percentage of the population it actually is.
With respect to transgenders, that is a very small percentage of an already very small percentage, like 5% of 5%. And right. It struck me on reading this that we are literally at the moment rewriting American laws. We are reweaving the fabric of American society. We are restructuring the way our yep. schools and our businesses run for a population that is 5% of 5% of the population.
Right. That's exactly right. And see, the point of this, if you really thought about it and you said, well, gee, we've got a few young people, you know, obviously not very many, as you're saying here, that this poll is showing, not very many. But we've got a few people who don't fit the usual pattern of male and female. We ought to be able to accommodate them easily by creating restrooms that only one person at a time can use. We should be able to solve that problem. But you see, that shows that that isn't what the issue is. The issue is not about helping those kids. And there are some people with medical conditions. They're called intersex. They're not called transgender. They're called intersex. There are people like that. And we can handle that. We can help them. But the point of the transgender identification and the point of the transgender push has nothing to do with helping those young people. It has to do with breaking down the idea of male and female. Because the sex radicals, whether they're left or right, their sex radicals resent the fact that we come in two genders, male and female. They resent male and female. And so transgenderism is a way of breaking down the concept of male and female. And that's why they're putting so much energy into it, Todd. And that's why Christians need to stop tap dancing around it, stop pussyfooting around with it, and face it for what it is, which is a radical assault on nature itself. And we cannot cave in. We cannot give any ground on this stuff.
How can you account for the wildly disproportional political power that is possessed by such a small percentage of the population?
Well, they've got people with deep pockets helping them out. You know, I mean, we saw this in the run up to the redefinition of marriage. You know, there was no big funder to help defend man-woman marriage. There wasn't. On the other side, there were big corporations, there were big foundations, there are people like George Soros, you know, and the same team basically is promoting the transgender agenda. And the reason they're doing it is what I just said. You know, there are people in power who resent the human body. They resent the fact that sex makes babies and that it takes a man and a woman to make a baby. They resent all of that. And that the left dislikes it because it's unequal. Men and women are unequal. So we got to do something about male and female. And this is their answer to that, is this. And too many people on the right are uneasy about male and female. Unless they have some kind of Christian faith formation, people are uneasy about male and female because you can't make a baby by yourself. The radical individualism that is a part of the right-wing coalition, the radical individualists are freaked out over male and female because you can't make a baby by yourself. A radical individual doesn't exist when the subject is making babies. So that's why too many people at the top of the conservative movement don't know what to do with transgenderism, don't know what to do with the gay lobby, because it's touching something in them that they don't know how to respond to. And that's why it's left to the people of faith, and only the people of faith, to battle this juggernaut, really, that's rampaging through society, trying to eliminate male and female from law, public policy, and social practice. That's the end game of the gender ideologues, Todd. And that's what your listeners need to understand. The end game of transgenderism is not the bathrooms or the locker rooms. The end game is to remove male and female from the law, from social practice, and from culture. That's what they want. And it's crazy, and they've got to be stopped.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is our guest. We're talking about a new poll of LGBTQ Americans on this Monday, June the 25th. When we come back, I wonder, does it surprise Jennifer that 39% of the respondents claim no religious affiliation? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. And at least it seems that this small, vocal, and well-funded segment of the American population has managed to change at least the minds of, what was it, five Supreme Court justices, and may be on their way to changing the mind of a nation. Stay tuned. With so many religions in the world today, how can we know which, if any, is true? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Religion on Trial, Examining Religious Truth Claims. It's written by regular guest Craig Parton. Learn more about Religion on Trial at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Religion on Trial by Craig Parton.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. IssuesETC.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world. It's up for more.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a new poll of LGBTQ Americans. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founder and president of the Ruth Institute, is our guest. It's pretty obvious that they were able to, that the LGBTQ activists and their allies in corporate America and in American politics were able to sway the mind of at least one key Supreme Court justice, Anthony Kennedy, on the issue of gay marriage. It appears, Jennifer, that they're also on the way to swaying the American mind. I'm looking at a flip-flop in less than 20 years. In 2001, 57% of Americans opposed the idea of same-sex marriage. 35% supported it. In 2017, 32% oppose and 62% support. Are they changing the minds of Americans?
Well, I think they are changing people's minds because they have a pretty steady propaganda campaign that includes the mainstream media, entertainment media, and of course, law and public policy, and not to mention what's going on in the schools. So, yeah, people's minds are changing, but that doesn't mean that people are going to willingly embrace the next step of transgenderism or anything like that. Christians need to be aware of what's happening to us, and I think most Christians are not really aware of how it's happening and how it's being done. And that's why I love coming on here and talking to you guys and to your listeners, so people can have a better sense of that your instincts are not wrong, your instincts are sound, and even if you feel like you're getting a steady drumbeat of pro-LGBT propaganda, that doesn't mean that the ancient teachings of the church are wrong. It doesn't even mean that the teachings of the church 5 minutes ago were wrong. It just means that this is a very well-organized and powerful group of people.
So talk about the fact that one of the findings here, and I wonder if it surprises you, that 39% of the respondents to the poll of LGBTQ Americans claimed no religious affiliation.
No, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. I mean, and when you look at the chart, you see that 39% of the LGBT Americans having no religion at all. That's the biggest single religious affiliation is none. Okay, there's two things going on there, Todd. Number one, a person who is not formed in any faith is going to be more likely to self-identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. And if you're going to be practicing and self-identifying as gay or lesbian, you may be most likely to leave the practice of whatever faith you had to start with. So there's a strong selection away from religion if you're going to be identifying yourself as gay or lesbian. I mean, the thing that's striking to me about all of this, Todd, is that there's no real definition of gay, lesbian, or bisexual, except for self-definition. I mean, this poll is really about self-definition. If you look at it more closely, you'll see 25% of the people in this poll have not had any sex at all in the last year. Okay, so let's say I identify as lesbian, but I'm not having sex with anybody. What do I mean when I say I'm lesbian? You know, what do I mean when I say that I'm bisexual? You know, the fact is that scientifically, the word gay doesn't have a well-established scientific meaning, and most people don't know that. If you look at people doing medical research, for example, they never use the term gay. They don't say gay men are more likely to have STDs or anything like that. They say men having sex with men are more likely to have STDs because they don't care about your self-identification. What they want to know is, what are you doing? You know, so they use the term men having sex with men because that's something they can measure and know exactly what they're talking about. But the term gay has no established meaning because it could mean, are you having sex? Do you self-identify? Do you have the feelings? Do you identify with the political community? It could mean any combination of those things. And there literally is no scientifically agreed upon consensus about what the term gay or lesbian actually means. Okay. And so I think that is a very important thing for your listeners to be aware of, that when somebody says to them, I'm gay, like your nephew or your grandma, you know, grandma, I think I'm gay, you know, well, what is that? What do you mean? I mean, I think the proper thing for us to say to our loved ones is to say, well, honey, what do you mean when you say to me, you think you're gay? And then be quiet and listen. You know, they could be telling you all kinds of things, you know. The other thing this poll shows is that by far the largest number of people by age group is the younger age group. The younger you go, the more likely people are to identify themselves in one of these non-exclusively heterosexual categories. Well, are they going to continue to identify themselves that way 10 years from now? There are studies showing that 80% of them do not identify themselves as gay or lesbian or non-heterosexual, you know, 10 or 15 years from now. So we don't really know when somebody self-identifies, we don't know what they mean by that term because we don't have any scientific consensus on what the term actually means.
I'm curious about kind of the political affiliation or a coalition that's here. It's largely assumed that mainstream feminism has a natural political affiliation with the LGBT movement because they both kind of come from and identify with the sexual revolution. But feminism depends on the binary. Its very definition depends on the binary. If the end game is, as you say, to eliminate the binary from law, the distinction between male and female, feminism will pretty soon be a legal absurdity.
Well, you know, and the way you can see that that's true, what you're saying is exactly correct, Todd. And the way you can see that it's true is that there are tensions and fractures within feminism among feminists themselves about how they're going to respond to, for example, transgenderism. And then feminism and transgenderism, those people are in conflict with each other. A subset of feminists are in conflict with them because some feminists, particularly some lesbian feminists, believe that transgenderism is the end of feminism and that many of the things feminists fought for and many of the things that lesbian feminists in particular fought for, those things are going to go away if transgenderism achieves its end. So having women-only spaces, that goes away. Transgenderism is wiping that out. And there's even a mean acronym that transgender activists have come up with to describe their enemies who are feminists. So they call their opponents TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists. And some of the feminists who have crossed swords with the transgender people, they find themselves facing some serious opposition, some serious conflict. You know, not just conflicts of words all the time. People being excluded from programs, people being shut down, their speeches being shut down, and things like that. Because the as you say, transgenderism is a direct blow to many of the things that radical feminists and lesbian feminists have argued for. So there's some strange bedfellows, some strange coalitions reforming around these issues. And really, the only stable point that Christians need to see is that male and female, He created them. In the beginning, we were created in the divine image, male and female equally in the divine image, but different from one another. And there are always going to be some differences between men and women. There's always going to be some kinds of inequalities between men and women, but not every inequality is morally justified. And that's a position that I think all Christians should be able to affirm, but we have to affirm it. We have to know what we believe, or we're going to be swept away by the confusion that's being created by the, you know, not just transgenderism and the LGBT lobby, but the confusion within the lobby itself. If we're not clear what we think, we're going to be completely baffled and swept away. So it's very important for us to reaffirm what our basic beliefs are.
General, with about 30 seconds, tell us about your forthcoming book, The Sexual State.
Oh, yes. Well, The Sexual State, it's going to be out in August, and it's going to be, the subtitle is going to be How Elites Are Destroying Lives and Why the Church Has Been Right All Along. And a lot of the themes in that book, your listeners will recognize, because in there I really talk about how the sexual revolution has needed the state in order to be sustained. It's not just like a force of nature that came sweeping through society with no support. No, this is something created by the state, and from the beginning, it's been created and sustained by the state. That's the theme of The Sexual State.
You can find out more about Jennifer's books and the Ruth Institute under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
On the other side of the break, we're going to spend some time with Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, talking about the left's double standard for small business owners. Stay tuned.
What does it mean to be a man? More importantly, what does it mean to be a man of God? In its June issue, the Lutheran Witness aims to help readers dig more deeply into the Bible's vision of men set free. free to be loving husbands, caring fathers, bold proclaimers of the gospel, and self-sacrificial images of Jesus Christ. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.